Pleasure to be here. I thank you, Pastor Gangway, again for the opportunity. I never take it lightly. I know, having been a pastor for 14 years in New York, any good pastor worth his weight in salt would not relinquish his pulpit to just anybody. Amen. There are groups out there today who are letting Mormons and even Muslims come into their pulpits, but not a good pastor. He wouldn't do that. So I'm grateful to be here. I thank you for showing up yourself. It'd be lonely if you didn't. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'll tell you why you're turning there. In spite of the front of the bulletin for today, I promise you, Pastor Gangler and I did not speak. We did not speak ahead of time about what the message was going to be about. When I saw that, I said, God knew, and He had prepared. If you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word in John chapter 10? I'm going to start reading in verse 23. John chapter 10, starting in verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Throughout the Bible, repeatedly, Jesus says those who put their trust and faith in Him, those who are saved, those who follow Him are His sheep. He, of course, being the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, the word sheep exists 180 times in the Bible. Think of it. Of all the animals in the world, Jesus chose sheep to be the type or example of us. And I think for good reason. And here's one reason. Because sheep are not goats. That's the title I've given for the message this morning. When I saw the bulletin, I said, boy, is that ever apropos. That's a beautiful cover. It's my prayer that as we look into what the Bible says about this topic, that before we're done here this morning, that we'll understand why it is that Jesus calls us His sheep. Let's pray. Father God, I praise Your holy name. I thank You so much for this church. We have a place to come. It feels like home. It's so wonderful to come north and enjoy the weather, but mostly the fellowship of God's people. And I thank You and pray You continue to bless Calvary and Pastor Gangway and this whole church. Lord, have Your will and way here this morning. You know I am nothing, I know nothing, I have nothing if I don't receive it from You. So I pray that no one would see or hear me, but hear You speaking through me, this sinner saved by grace, used of God. Now, God, have Your will and way with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn as you're being seated to Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see something there that will fit well in context of where we're going this morning. Matthew chapter 25, and when you get there, move down to verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. You find your place when you say amen? Okay, Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth, what? His sheep from his goats. Verse 33, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now skip down to verse 41 with me. Then shall He say also to them on His left hand, that would be the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, in the mind of God, there's a grave difference between sheep and goats. There's a big difference in God's mind. Let me try to explain to you then why it is that we're called sheep and not goats. Now, full disclosure, I've never raised sheep. I've been around them quite a bit in my life, off and on, but I've never raised them. However, I have raised goats, quite a few of them, so I know quite a bit about goats. And to increase my knowledge for this message, I did a little more research, and I found out some new things, but found out some things that I already knew as well, confirmed those. In North America, sheep and goats are easily distinguishable. If you drive by a herd of sheep, you know what they are. If you drive by a herd of goats, you know what they are, right? But that's only due to one thing, and that's specialized breeding that they've done over the years. Sheep we see as fluffy and woolly, and goats are not at all, right? You know the difference. However, ever since creation, throughout history, and still today in much of the Middle East and in places like Asia and Africa, I went to Israel in 1999 was when I went there. Lose track of dates here. And I'm telling you, this is so true. Sheep and goats, from the beginning, were almost identical. You can't really tell the difference. They look the same. In fact, only a real shepherd can tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. So then the application here, we just read in Matthew chapter 25, in that parable, is saying this to us. Outward conformity, just being in a certain herd, or in our case, in a certain church even, outward conformity isn't what it takes, isn't what's required to be a sheep. That's what the message there in Matthew 25 we just read. There's something else. There's something that only a good shepherd can see and know to be able to tell the difference. And that's what determines whether God will separate us to his right hand or to his left hand in the end. So then the question arises in all of our minds, what is it? What is that unseen thing? Stay tuned. I hope before the service is over this morning, you'll be able to answer that question yourself. Now, sheep have a long-standing reputation for being rather stupid animals. Ouch. We're sheep. But they are. They really are stupid. And however, I must remind you, this is a fact. You can do the research for yourself, or just this is just a fact. The sheep of today that we see, especially here in North America, are quite different than the ones that were in Jesus' day. From the creation, they were not the what we see today. They've been interbred in such a way to make a more docile, more fluffy, a gentler, docile animal, easier to deal with, easier to handle. And that's because of all this breeding that they've done over the centuries. Goats, on the other hand, have a reputation for being rather independent and sometimes you could call them curious or opinionated, and those are the nicest things we can say about goats. I remember I raised a lot of goats, I know. Of course, some people would say that they're vulgar and dangerous and destructive and downright nasty, and I'd have to agree with a lot of that. So I would boil all this information down this way. Shepherds protect their sheep from the environment around them. But goat herders protect the environment from their sheep. That's just the way it is. Therefore, for us to be called one of God's sheep, for one of us to fit into that, we must learn to constantly, moment by moment, every day, depend on him for everything, like a sheep would depend on his shepherd. If we tend to be pushy and bossy and more destroying than building up and wanting to get our own way and do our own thing, then we're not sheep because we're acting more like goats. The main thing, the central thing, the difference between sheep and goats is really very simple. Sheep constantly are led by their shepherd. They follow him, whereas goat herders are led by their goats. The goats do what they want, go where they want. Literally, it's true. Sheep follow the voice of their shepherd and they trust him. They're led by him. They trust him for food and water and shelter and protection. They trust their shepherd always in every situation. If they wander away from the fold and go off, now sheep can do that from time to time, wander away from the fold, but the shepherd will always go after them. Oh, thank God that's true of us. He will rescue them from the danger. He'll bring them back to the safety of the fold and under his care. Any sheep that separates himself from the fold is in danger because sheep have no offensive or defensive abilities at all. They are the most docile, gentle animal in the world. A goat, however, doesn't follow anyone. He does his own thing. He goes his own way. A herd of goats goes where it wants, when it wants, and does what it wants. And the shepherd does his best to keep up with them. A goat herder does his best to keep up with the goats. Instead of grazing like sheep do, goats are always looking for something else, something new. I really believe it. Goats, I came up with that phrase we use, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I think goats made that one for us. So all of this tells us that if we're allowing ourselves to be led, if we're sensitive to the pull of God's word in our life, if we're following the path the shepherd has set down for us, then we are his sheep. If on the other hand, we're headstrong, going about doing our own thing, our own way, if we're not sensitive to God's word and the Holy Spirit within us, then we are not sheep. We are goats. Sheep trust the shepherd and they follow his voice. On the other hand, goats have a spirit of defiance. They have no desire to hear what the goat herder has to say. They do their own thing no matter what he says. He may say, go here, and they go there. They do their own thing. The question that this all brings for each of us to have to answer in our own heart and mind is this: how are you doing? How am I doing? Are we acting more like sheep or like goats? With that greater understanding of both sheep and goats, let us return to our text verse for this morning, John chapter 10, specifically verse 27. John chapter 10 and verse 27. John 10, 27 says this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The first thing I see in this text here is this: that sheep are always the custody of the shepherd. They are the custody of their shepherd. I love that phrase, my sheep. That gets me down in my heart when I think that God says to you and to me, if you're saved, if you're born again, you're my sheep. My sheep. It's an intimate phrase that we overlook sometimes so quickly we read past it. He said, you're my sheep. Let me put it to you this way. That pretty lady that walked in with me is Lisa. She's my wife, and don't you forget it. Because I will fight to defend my wife. I will provide for my wife. I will love and care for my wife all the days of our life because she's my wife. Jesus says, if you're saved, my sheep. Next year we'll celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. Now, we honeymooned in Vermont down in Lake St. Catherine. And we're kind of planning on next year being back in Vermont for our anniversary. As I was telling Pastor, we're not coming in September. We'll miss the car show next year, but we're going to come earlier because we want to be in Vermont on August 30th for our 40th anniversary. Last week, visiting her family in Glens Falls, we took her mom for a ride just to get her out of the house, and we went over Vermont. We actually found the actual cabin we stayed in. It's somebody's house now. It's not a rental anymore. But we actually found the place. It was kind of neat. But she's my wife. And when I think of that and how much I love her and care for her and will give my life for her, that's what Jesus is saying to you and to me today. My sheep. Because we're his sheep, we can count on him to provide for us and care for us, protect us and lead us and guide us like a good shepherd does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, you don't have to turn there, but Paul said it this way. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. You know, when I read that, it says, you know, you can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You can't watch what you want to watch on TV. You can't listen to what you want to listen to. You can't go on the internet sites you want to go to because you were not your own. You've been bought with a price. He owns you. My sheep, he says. Boy, I hope we grasp what that means here today. Since the sheep are the possession or the custody of their shepherd, then he is totally responsible for their care, their protection, their provision. As Christians, we say, yeah, I know that. That's true. Well, then answer me this. Why do we fret and worry? Why do we despair and grumble when things don't go the way we think they should go? After all, the great shepherd knows what we need, and he'll provide all of our need according to his riches. After all, he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. You know, I looked up that word forsake. All my Christian life, I've been just reading, go, oh yeah, that's good, he won't forsake us. Wait a minute, I looked it up. You know what that means? It means he won't abandon us, or renounce us, or give up on us. You ever give up on yourself? Or neglect us. That's all in that word. A sheep knows that their only safe and secure place is under the care, guidance, and protection of their shepherd. A sheep knows that. Why is it that sheep, who we know are dummy animals, get it, and sometimes we Christians don't? So we see that the first thing in this verse is that sheep, the true sheep, his sheep, are his custody. They are the custody of the shepherd. Number two, we see that the true sheep will always catch the voice of their shepherd. Catch his voice. Look at that verse again, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I love them. They're my sheep. And because they're my sheep, they hear my voice. If you're in John chapter 10, moves back to verse 1. It carries that same idea when it says this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Watch this now. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Oh, my friends. Amazingly, when the shepherd would go to the gate where all the sheep, many different shepherds would have their sheep in that feeding area, when he'd go to the gate and he'd call out, I don't know what he would say, but it says he'd call them by name, and his sheep would answer and come back. Come to him. Follow him. They wouldn't follow anybody else. They wouldn't listen to the voice of anyone else. Look back at verse 4. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The question for you and I to answer in our own hearts before God is, are you one of his sheep? Are you, if you're one of his sheep, are you listening? Are you hearing his voice? Do you remember a day when you heard the voice of God calling you to salvation, to repentance of your sin, and to trust and faith in Jesus Christ? If you have, if you've had that, what we call salvation experience, let me ask you another question. Do you listen to the shepherd's voice every day of your life? Do you listen to his voice for separation from sin and from sinners? Do you listen to his voice to call you to a life of committed service unto him? Do you listen to his voice by reading his word every single day? Hey, how about the preached word of God? Do you listen to his voice by making it a priority in your life to be committed to be in the house of God every time the word of God is broken forth? And do you make that a priority, or is it just when it's convenient? What I want to know is this: are you listening to the master or some other master? The devil is constantly trying to misdirect and misguide and mislead, especially the children of God. He don't care about the lost. He's already got them. He cares about the children of God, those who have put their faith in Christ. He's trying to misguide and misdirect and mislead them. Today you find the devil's voice everywhere. It's all over the TV. There's nothing worth watching there anymore, hardly. It's really getting sad to me. More and more what I call unholywood, that's what I like to call Hollywood, because it's quite unholy out there. More and more unholy, what is pushing that sodomite lifestyle. You see, there was a day when they said it's just a preference, you know, personal preference. No, now they want it preferred. And if you and I don't accept it, then we're the evil ones. It's wicked, my friends. It's the devil. You'll find the devil's voice in novels, in movies. Hey, sadly enough, today you can hear the devil's voice in some places called churches. It's really sad. Every day, the devil, the great deceiver, the father of lies, he's broadcasting a venomous message of lies, trying to distort and to change the world to follow him by not following God. Because if you're not following God, you are following the world. He's doing that everywhere. So then we must all ask ourselves, whose voice are we listening to? When Christ, the great shepherd, beckons to you, do you listen? And do you follow? First, the sheep are the custody of the shepherd. Secondly, true sheep will catch the voice of their shepherd because they're listening to him. Number three, we also see that the true sheep comprehend their shepherd. They understand. They comprehend their shepherd. Look at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice. Now I know them. Not only do true sheep know their shepherd, but they are known of their shepherd. He says, I know them. John 10 verse 14 adds this. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Wow. The original word here for know is much stronger than what we think of. We use it on the surface. It's a deeper knowledge. Jesus says in John 15 and verse 15 that he not only knows us, he calls us friend. You know, they say most people have a circle of intimate close friends that fit on one hand, about five people that are really that close to us. John 15, 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus wants to call you his friend. When we speak of this relationship we're supposed to have with Jesus Christ as born-again Christians, it's a deeper thing than we sometimes recognize on the surface. We're talking about knowing him personally. Hey, Jesus knows you and I better than we know ourselves. That's hard to understand even, but it's the truth. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He has a universal, a special, a distinct, and exact knowledge of each and every one of his sheep. If you're one of his sheep, he knows you, my friend. Do you remember that chilling verse, one of the most chilling verses in all the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, where it says that someday Jesus will literally have to say to some people, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are chilling words. You know, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, one thing's for certain, he'll never, ever say those words to you. Because he says, I know my sheep. And he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So we can guarantee that he knows us and he'll always know us. He'll never unknow us. So the all important question is this. Do you know the Savior? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I pray to God that you are. If you don't know the shepherd and you're not sure if the shepherd knows you, I beg of you, make this the best day of your life. Come to Jesus Christ today before it's too late. As Jesus hung upon that cross before he gave up his last breath, he says, it is finished. He said, there's nothing more you and I can do. Hey, there's nothing more God could have done to save you than what he had already done by giving his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now he calls upon us. He says, won't you come unto me? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you're tired, you're wore out, come to Jesus. Find that eternal rest. I ask you, are you a sheep? Or are you a goat that just looks like a sheep? There's no other choice, my friend. It's you're either in or you're out. You're either to the right hand or the left hand. In the end, it's going to be in or out. That's it. Today's the day we need to make a choice. Because on that day, it's too late to say, oh, I believe now, Lord. It's too late. Number one, in our text, we see that true sheep are the custody of the shepherd. Number two, true sheep will always catch the voice of their shepherd because they're listening for him. Number three, true sheep comprehend their shepherd. They know about him. They love him. Number four, true sheep will chase after their shepherd. True sheep will faithfully follow their shepherd wherever he goes. They don't say, you know, you're going that way, but I think I'll go over here for a while. No, true sheep follow their shepherd. Look at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then it says, and they follow me. That's marvelous right there. This is the ultimate proof of whether you are a true sheep or a goat that kind of looks like a sheep. Any person who claims to be a sheep, but they never follow the Lord, follow his word, follow his will, do his will, they don't do that, then he is either deceiving us or deceiving himself because he is no sheep. According to scripture, he's a goat. Either he's deceived into thinking he's a sheep, or he's doing a good job of deceiving the rest of us because he's really a goat and not a sheep. Jesus makes that statement as a statement of fact when he says, sheep follow the shepherd. That's just a statement of fact. Show me a person who has no desire, no inclination in their life at all to follow Jesus, what Jesus wants for their life, and I'll show you a person who is not one of his sheep. If they don't have that, I'm not saying they live a perfect life. There's no perfection on earth. We'll be perfected as we meet him in the air. But if you don't have the desire, that will to do right, then you are not one of his sheep. Although it's true that sheep, the animal sheep as well as we sheep, have a tendency once in a while to wander. That's true. God knows that. And the Bible makes it clear the shepherd will always come after us. He always seek us out. So I say, whenever you stray from the Lord into sin, one of the greatest proofs of the fact that you are a child of God is that the Lord will not allow you to continue in that sin without coming after you, without the Holy Spirit convicting you, drawing you back in. If you can go off into sin for months and years on end and never feel guilty like you ought to get right, I think you better check your salvation. Because you can't be walking with the Lord without the Lord seeking to return you to the fold. That's just his way. So the question that I find preachers seem to get asked most often is this. I want to know, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? Now, I'm not sure that those who ask that question really want the answer, but God's will is very simple. He wants us to listen and to hear his voice and then follow him. That's simple. I can't go no deeper than that. That's all I can tell you. That's what it is. You know what the Greek says? The same thing. But why is it that sometimes we can hear God's voice, not audibly now, I'm not losing my mind, I'm talking spiritually, right? We can hear God's voice in our life, and then sometimes we can't seem to hear from God. Why is it? Why is it we can't hear from God sometimes? Well, hearing requires the working of that amazing instrument of the body, the ear. That you ever want to do an amazing study, unless you're a doctor, you're not going to really grasp it, but it's deep. The ear is an amazing creation of God. Mm-hmm. And it requires that. It's a complex member of the body. It will not probably be a surprise to most of you women in the room, but science has proven that men don't hear well, especially if they don't hear you well. I'm guilty. This has been researched for decades and decades and decades now. And the conclusion that they have come away is this, that men are half-wits. Now, wait a minute. Before you men throw tomatoes at me and before you women rejoice too much, it has reasoning behind that. They have proven that men only listen with half their brains, half their wits, right? So they listen half. And women tend to listen with both sides of their brain. Now, don't rejoice too much because we may not hear as much information, but y'all hear too much, and that's why you talk so much. Have I redeemed myself with you men? Science can know a lot about the human body and about the ear, but they don't get that. They can't understand completely the ear. It's an amazing thing. One thing I know for certain, though, is this. Poor hearing is very much less a problem with the ear as it is with poor listening. I thought I'd get more amens than that one. Especially from the women. But it's true. Poor hearing is usually a bigger problem with poor listening than anything. And I can prove you that by this. A totally deaf person who's been born deaf or become deaf afterwards can hear from God if they're listening. Right? Not hearing God speak to us is more our problem. It's a listening problem than God's problem. So what is it that can keep a person from hearing from God? Number one is distraction. Too busy. We've got too much going on in our lives. I think that's guilty for Americans especially. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But we have this to do and that to do, and the kids to soccer, and we're so busy that we don't have room or time for God. Hey, if you're too busy for God, then you're too busy. It's that simple. Secondly, sin. Sin causes something called poor reception. We can't receive from God. We can't hear God. Proverbs 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I remember when I was a child, back in the dark ages. One Christmas I got walkie-talkies for Christmas, and I thought I was the man. Walkie-talkie. They had an antenna so long, you know, you pulled it out, you could put a flag up on it. It was, you know, back in the day. I thought those things worked great. And they did, as long as the guy with the other walkie-talkie was no more than 8 feet away. They were fantastic. I really liked those things. But then something happened about 1966. How many of you remember the TV series Star Trek? Right? The original, I don't care for that modern stuff, but boy, the old original. And them guys had something they called the communicators. Right? It kind of like this. They had this little thing in their hand, and guy had one, and he flipped it over. Scotty, are you there? How can I hear you, Captain? There's too much interception. I just can't hear you. They talked back and forth, and there was no antenna. And we were like, that's great. That's a Hollywood thing. That'll never happen. We can't. Oh, how times have changed. Then I think, have they really? The other day I was watching a guy down the street, and he's trying to talk to somebody. Apparently he had a reception problem too. Sometimes there's interference on those things. The phones are great. We need them today. I mean, I do so much on my phone that I don't know how I lived without it. But sometimes there's an interference problem. You know, sins like that in our spiritual life. Sin interferes with our connection with God. You won't be able to hear from God so well if you're living in sin. And God don't want to hear your prayers as well if you're living in sin. The Holy Spirit will always speak to you about sin in your life. He'll always try to woo you back and bring you back to Him. But unless and until you're willing to confess and repent, that means turn away from your sin, the Lord cannot communicate with you. You blocked it. There's interference in the way. God may have something He wants to tell you. He might have some special thing He wants you to do for His glory and for your good. But He can't get through to you if you've got sin interfering. Distractions, too busy, keep us from hearing from God. Sin, poor reception, keep us hearing from God. Number three, ignoring. We act sometimes as though what God has to say is not important. We do that when we don't come to the house of God. We don't read God's word. We don't care what God says, it seems to be. Maybe the truth is we hear God, but we just don't want to obey. You're only fooling yourself if you think you can go on ignoring what God is saying to you in your heart through the written word, through the preached word, through the Holy Spirit within you. You're fooling yourself if you think you can go on ignoring that, rejecting that without God having to do something to get your attention. God is merciful. He's loving. He's kind. But He's also just. And He will get His way. He's God. What Jesus asked for all those who are saved is really very simple. It's not complicated, though we tend to complicate it because we want to go our own way. We often fail to trust the direction that we've been given by His Word and by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we push the button, the mute button. Kind of like that commercial I used to have. The guy said, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I wonder how many of us, there's been times, myself included, when God is saying, can you hear me now? I've been telling you from my word. I've been telling you from that indwelling Holy Spirit. I've been telling you from the preached word, and you're not obeying. Can you hear me now? It's never good for a sheep to be too far from the fold or the shepherd's care. It's never good for a child of God to drift too far from His word and from the care of the shepherd, the under-shepherd that He's given you. The shepherd always has your best interest in mind. The shepherd will never lead you astray. The shepherd will never leave you alone, never disregard you or forget you, never leave you nor forsake you. He's always provides for us our protection and our needs throughout life's journey. Once again, look at that verse 27. Oh, I love this verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Who does He know? He knows those that hear His voice and obey Him. Those who follow Him. As a shepherd knows his sheep, so God knows those are His. God knows those who are saved. He knows those who are His children, the sheep of His fold. The Lord is always at work. The Lord never stopped working in the world, reaching the lost. And He wants us who are saved to be a part of that work. But if we've got sin in the way, we can't be a part of that. He wants us to hear His voice and to follow Him. And that will lead, if you do that, if today, if you will listen and hear God's voice and you will follow him, that will lead you to where God wants you to be, not only today, but throughout eternity, closer to the shepherd. So I ask you once again, are you listening? And are you following? Are you following the wrong master, the wrong shepherd, something in the world? Or are you following the shepherd, the good shepherd? He wants to lead you. Will you follow? Let's pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. I thank you so much for what you've done in my heart and life as I've gone through this message and prepared for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for this church, and I pray for everyone here that they'd examine themselves and let the Holy Spirit work on them from the inside out. And Lord God, I just pray if there's anybody here today who's not one of the sheep, maybe there's someone who's been playing the part of a sheep and they look to the rest of us like a sheep, but if the truth be known, they're still a goat. They're unsaved. They haven't put their trust in you. Lord, if that be true, I beg of you, Father God, may your Holy Spirit fall upon them right now, convict them of their sin, and bring them to you before it's eternally too late. Oh God, save that one. I pray this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this church, and thank you for this pastor. Love you, Lord. We look forward to that great day when we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, everybody stand with head bowed and eye closed. Pastor.
Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Only you know how God's spoken to your heart. And I'll guarantee you that God will always speak addressing what he desires for you. And you'd say with heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, pray for me in closing. I haven't been listening very well. And sometimes the message he gets, if we're not willing to listen through the Word or through the Holy Spirit of God, is maybe there's something else going on in your life. God's trying to get your attention. Something going on with a family member, or something going on at work, something going on with your health, something going on with your finances. And God's just trying to get your attention, trying to draw you to himself. How many would say this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, pray for me in closing today. I want my ears to be more in tune. I want to be a better listener, so that I can not only just hear, but so I can serve in the way that God's called me to serve. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing? Hands are here and hands are there. Yes, preacher, pray for me in closing today. Pray for me today. You know, it may be this morning that you don't even know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. Well, I can tell you this morning, biblically speaking, it's in one of two places. Either with the Lord as a sheep, or with Satan as a goat. As Brother Scott was preaching, I was thinking about how God's symbol animal that he chose was a sheep. And if you really know Satanism, his symbol is the goat. His followers are goats. We are his sheep. And it's not really hard to tell those who are walking away and fighting and rebelling against God. But if you do not know where you're going to spend eternity, would you say, preacher, pray for me in closing? I'd like to get it settled once and all before I leave here today. Very easy. All you have to do is come to a saving faith in Christ. Preacher, it can't be that easy. Yes, because Christ took all the work out of it on the cross. He gave his life, shed his blood as a substitute so we would not have to. And all we have to do is come to him with a believing faith in what he did for us. It really is that simple. God's calling you this morning. God's speaking to your heart. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing today? There are those who are at home this morning. You can make the same decisions at home that the folks make here. You don't have to be in the house of the Lord. You can be right where you are. You're shut in, or you can't get out for one reason or another. You can receive Christ right where you are, or you can rededicate your life right where you are. We're going to sing a song. I know the song that's in the bulletin is Beneath the Cross of Calvary. Let's sing Follow, Follow. I will follow Jesus. Get out of hymnals here as soon as Steve finds out where it is.